WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has been listening to the way people translate the language of Islamic fundamentalism, and he's thinking about why it has such a medieval sound to American ears. Jeff wonders if it's possible to translate between secular and religious cultures, or if this is just a gulf that language can't span.
Listening to the video of Osama bin Laden that was released after the U.S. began its attack on Afghanistan, I was struck by the way the interpreter had him calling President Bush the head of the infidels and insisting that the army of infidels must leave the land of Muhammad. Infidel is such a quaint word in English that I wondered whether it was a fair translation. With the help of an Egyptian colleague, I checked out the Arabic version of bin Laden's message. He had used the word kafir, which does indeed translate as infidel. Kafir is one of those elastic terms that can stretch from out-and-out heathens to the heretics in the apartment upstairs. But in its strict meaning, kafir refers to non-Muslims, particularly when they're considered confrontationally. Muslim scholars divide the world between the Dar al-Kufr, the land of the kafirs, and the Dar al-Islam, the land of the Muslims. I suppose the term Dar al-Islam would be the Muslim counterpart to our word Christendom. But that word is pretty antiquated, too. The concept of Christendom hasn't played much of a role in the Western psyche since the Poles and Germans turned back the Turkish armies at the Siege of Vienna in 1683, the last time a Muslim power was ever a serious threat to the West. That seems to be the story with a lot of the words that translators use to render the language of Islamic fundamentalism. They have a musty medieval sound. When somebody talks about infidels, I have an image of the characters in Ivanhoe who are always slipping off to the Holy Land to fight the Saracen infidel. In modern English, it isn't a word that we ever use in earnest. People may style themselves infidels to suggest their defiance of some ruling orthodoxy. But it's a sign of how thoroughly our culture has been secularized that not even Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson would use the word infidel to describe non-believers, whatever their sexual orientation. It's like calling somebody a pagan or heathen. It makes you sound like a sergeant major out of a Kipling story. That was the weirdest thing about Falwell's rant about all the people who had brought the September 11th attacks down on America's head. He said it was the fault of the pagans, the abortionists, the feminists, the gays and lesbians, and the ACLU. To most Americans, that word pagans was a tip-off that Falwell wasn't simply being intolerant, he was living in some other century. In fact, the only time we still hear the word infidel used literally is when it's put into the mouths of swarthy villains. That was what was so odd about hearing the word in the voiceover translation of bin Laden's video. It sounded like something from a pulp fiction melodrama. Die, infidel dog. Infidel may have started its life as a homegrown English word, but it's ending its days as a translation. Whether it's ominous or comic, it isn't a notion we use ourselves. That's always the problem when you try to translate across a cultural divide. The words may be there, but they echo differently in the other person's room. The difficulty can cut both ways. A couple of weeks ago, the White House had to apologize when President Bush offhandedly described the war on terrorism as a crusade. Americans use that word without paying much attention to its origins, and we tend to forget that it has the root for cross buried in it, particularly when our Latin is shaky. But in Arabic, crusade translates as al-hamalat as-salibiyah, or campaign of the cross, and it can still evoke some vivid historical memories. It was disconcerting to hear bin Laden throw the term back in an utterly literal way, referring to Bush as a big crusader. For us, that's a word you apply to a courageous politician, a cartoon rabbit, or a World War II British tank. It all underscores the problem that the U.S. faces as it tries to persuade the Muslim world that it isn't engaged in a religious war. And it's all the more difficult because, in a certain sense, it is a religious war, as Andrew Sullivan was arguing in an article in the New York Times last week. Not a war between Christendom and the Dar al-Islam, but between modernity and traditionalism. And deeper than that, between two visions of salvation, one secular and the other fundamentalist. You wonder how there could be any accommodation or understanding between the two sides when they hear the same words so differently. But if communication is difficult, you want to believe that it isn't hopeless. A couple of days ago, I was talking about Bush's crusade gaffe with a friend who teaches medieval Arabic history. Actually, she told me, if you wanted to do justice to crusade the way Bush used the word, you wouldn't translate it with the Arabic phrase that means campaign of the cross. You'd use that word jihad. Jihad does have the meaning of a religious war, but like crusade, it can also mean any kind of personal moral struggle. These days, she said, my jihad is being department vice chair. That made the word jihad sound a little less alien to me, and with it, the corner of the Muslim mind that it inhabits. You wonder if the worlds are really so different that there can't be any translation between them. It reminded me of what a translator told me once. Verbatim translations tend to sound odd, particularly when they have to bridge a vast cultural gulf. But if you root around, you'll usually find some other word that suggests a common point of understanding. If you're a translator, he said, you have to believe that when it comes to the crunch, people can always find something to talk about. And sometimes the translation that takes people at their literal word is the one that winds up being unfaithful.
Linguist Jeff Nunberg is the author of the new book, The Way We Talk Now, Commentaries on Language and Culture from NPR's Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air.